Welcome to the Witches Healing Podcast. This space was created to get us all back to why we started our journey in the first place. In this sacred space, we understand that the only way out is within. I'm your host, Christina, also known as Moonstone Energy, and I'll be giving life advice, affirmations for success, collective messages, and more. I'm happy you're here. Let's get into this episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Witches Healing Podcast. I am your host, Christina, and on today's episode, we are going to do this segment entitled What to Do When. And this one will be about what to do when you're codependent. So just to run over a couple of things with you, I essentially did a blog post about this. So if you're interested in diving a little bit deeper into this topic, I also add a resource in the blog posting on my website, moonstoneenergy.com, under the Cosmic Wisdom, the blog section. That will be the latest blog post as of November the 28th, as today is December the 1st. Happy first of the month. So just to get right into it, codependency. It is defined as a theory that explains imbalanced relationships where one person enables another person's self-destructive behavior, such as addiction, poor mental health, immaturity, irresponsibility, or underachievement. Now, I'm just going to go over a couple of warning signs of codependency and explain to you a few things. So, number one, feeling responsible for solving other people's problems. Now, when I was, I guess you could say, in this state of mind with, you know, my codependent ways, I essentially made other people's problems my problems. Now, that's not to say that if you have a friendship or you're in a relationship or even with your family, that you don't care about something that your loved one or whomever is going through. Of course you care. You want them to be happy. You want them to be at their absolute best. So it's not like you shouldn't care about what they're going through. But with codependent people, they typically try to solve something that is essentially outside of their means of solving. So I guess an example for that would be someone that essentially has an addiction, for example. I'm not sure if you've ever watched the show Intervention, but the people of the family members, the family of the person that is being interviewed, I guess, the one that has the addiction, there's always that one family member that's always trying to save the person that has the addiction. They're usually called the enabler. They're the ones trying to, if they're going to use, they're going to use in my house. At least I know where they are when they're using and they're not out in the streets and doing this and doing that. They will be an enabler, but at the same time, they feel responsible for solving their addicted loved one's issues, which is their addiction to drugs or addiction to alcohol or what have you. They typically feel responsible for them. And it could be something as far as guilt. They may feel like, well, if I had been here when you were growing up, maybe you wouldn't have turned out like this. And they internalize a lot of that emotion and then turn feel like it's their duty to try to get their loved ones off of whatever pill or bottle that their loved one's addicted to. But essentially, it's not their responsibility to try to get them off of that. The responsibility lies on the person that is addicted. So I know that was a long drawn out example, but that is the best example. One of the more extreme examples when it comes to feeling responsible for someone else's problems. Number two would be offering advice, even if it wasn't asked for. Mind your business. Number three, poor communication regarding feelings, wants, or needs. So typically when people that are codependent, they end up not being able to express themselves, meaning their throat chakra is very blocked. They don't know how to verbalize things that they need to, and which is another one on the list is feeling used or underappreciated. And the only reason you feel used or underappreciated is because you're not communicating your feelings and your wants and needs. So it's like a catch-22. It's a double-edged sword when it comes to that. Another one is making difficult decisions, playing the victim, lying to yourself and making excuses for others' bad behaviors, being needy, or feeling the need, or being needy, or the need to always have someone around you, no personal space. So on this list, I mean, of course, when it comes to codependency, it's not bound to 17 straight cut rules of how to identify someone that is, you know, codependent, because it can vary with different things. It could be so much more than just these things on the list, but these are just a couple of things that I found when I was looking into this, because essentially the blog post is called Codependency and Spiritual Stifling. So being codependent can keep you from elevating on a spiritual level, because when you're codependent, you're relying on external forces, meaning outer people outside of yourself, to understand things and to go about life and to get knowledge, when you are a spirit living a human experience. So what that means is all of the, whatever communication you'll get from your ancestors, God, goddess, whomever, you can't hear them because you're so concerned with what the external, your family, your friends, are going to say, think, or feel about what you say, think, or feel. So this is more so about leaning onto your own understanding and knowing thyself. And it also goes back to, like, when you first get to the point in your practice where you want to essentially include your ancestors, they're going to take you through a period of basically you getting to know yourself. Because if you don't know yourself, how can you honestly do anything? You can't do anything if you don't. And that's not even just on a spiritual level. This is like regular day to day. Like, if you don't know who you are, how can you like demand a pay raise or demand respect in a relationship or a friendship? Like, you don't know who you are, so you don't know what you need. You don't know what you want. You don't know what your requirements of a certain type of relationship. You don't know these things because you don't know yourself. So it's very important to tap in, not just with your ancestors, but most importantly with yourself, in order to get to whatever level you're trying to get to as it pertains to your spiritual practice. So Just moving on a little bit. When I first began the next level of my spiritual journey, I'll say, I had to come to a conclusion. Like, okay, something isn't right. I don't like how things are going in my life. Something has got to give. I have to understand why I feel this way. Something isn't right, because all signs were pointing to the problem. So I literally had to do digging. And the digging, when I was digging, I ended up identifying the people that I was in codependent relationships with, because this is more than just one person. I had to identify them. And then I had to ask myself, why do I quote unquote need them? And when I say that, I don't mean like, oh, you don't need anybody, because of course you need people. Everyone needs someone sometimes. But a codependent person needs these people all of the time. There is no days off with codependent people. You have to be in my air, my skin, my thoughts, in the back of my eyelids 24/7, 365. And I don't even think that's enough. It has to be more like 25/8, 367. Like, I need you type stuff. Like, needy. People that are needy don't leave room for themselves. They truly don't. And essentially, once I got to a point where I identified those things, the next thing I had to ask myself, and this was a real life question, was what do I feel that I lack or something that I need? So that's definitely, if you're somebody that's struggling with codependency, whether it be financial codependency, like you rely on this person to get a check or any form of money, or even emotional support. People will literally tolerate disrespect, shadiness, all kinds of physical and emotional abuse just to say that they have someone. And I'm not just talking about in romantic relationships, I'm talking about friendships. You are literally fighting both mentally and physically with a friend. That's unhealthy. I don't care if it's a person that you are in a relationship with or in a friendship. If anyone says that they have to put their hands on you for any reason, I don't care for what, because they upset with you, you leave. It is not normal. It is not normal. Another thing that, and this is just something that I just thought about, like the people that I've been around, like they would try to normalize dysfunction. And that never made sense to me. How do you normalize something that's not normal? And I'm not talking about society's standard of normal. I'm just talking about normal as in what I see fit for me in my life. It's not normal for what I see fit in my life for someone to disrespect me, for someone to talk down on me, for someone to give me a backhanded compliment. Like, oh, your shoes are so ugly, but your hair cute though. Like, stuff like that. People think that it's normal. It's not normal. It's not normal, babes. It's not normal. So I literally had to sit back and think, what is it about these people what is it about them that I feel that I need them in my life? What is it about them that they, like, what is it that they have within themselves that I am gravitated to that I feel I lack? I literally had to think about that. And one thing that I felt that I lacked, and this is like literal, I felt like I had zero confidence, even though I like externally, I felt like I exuded confidence. I wasn't very confident. Not in the things that I said, not in the way that I carried myself, even though I looked like I had the confidence in the world, but I didn't. I did not have confidence. I did not have self-worth. I didn't have self-love. I didn't have a lot of things. And then which leads me to the next thing. Once you've gotten to a point where you understand, like, man, I feel like I'm lacking this, and this is something that I need, or what I perceived as something that they had that they really didn't have, because they was fronting the whole time, but something that I saw that in them that I wanted and that I wanted to embody, I had to sit with myself and say, well, how am I going to go about this? This is something that I know I can do this. But I literally had to sit down and take a moment and think about those things. And I also had to realize that I allowed a lot of stuff, and that really took its toll on me. And that's something that's actually a part of this list. It's like, once you realize a lot of stuff, it really eats away at the fact that, I mean, it'll eat away at you. The fact that you allow so much stuff to happen, the fact that you let yourself down in different aspects of your life, it can really take its toll on you. So I highly advise, if during this process of you deconstructing your mind and everything around you, if you feel like it's too much, see a licensed therapist. I can't stress that enough. You can be as spiritual as you want to be. Call on God, your goddess, your ancestors, whoever you call on. But therapy, there's a such thing as spiritual counseling, but there's another thing called actual mental counseling. That should not be skipped over. That should not be skipped over, especially if you feel like you need it. Don't skip over it. Spirituality will help with spiritual matters. Okay, if you have a mental issue, you need to have someone that is a licensed professional help you through those things. Okay, definitely take a moment, sit down, and really do some shadow work. Like, this is going to require you to do a lot of shadow work and internal, I guess you could say take internal inventory. And another thing, like I mentioned, I did attach an article, but there was a piece of it that said that a lot of people that were raised by overprotective parents end up in codependent relationships. And I said, say words, son. Like, literally, I promise you, when I think about all the relationships, friendships that I've been in, I can see it. I can see it. And I know my mother did the best that she could with what she had. God bless her soul. But honey, if I wasn't in the house by 8 o'clock when them street lights came on, that was my butt. Okay. That was my butt. I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't do nothing. When I tell you, and this is like off topic kind of, but I couldn't wear colorful nail polish until I got into college. Okay. No color nail polish, no lipstick, no earrings until I was 9. No, was I 9? I think I was 9 when I got my ears pierced. Even though that's fine, I would, at this day and age with everything, this is just me personally, but I wouldn't get my baby's ears pierced. But I didn't get my ears pierced till I was 9. I couldn't do anything. I was literally made to stay in a box. And granted, where I was raised, she was, you know, kind of justified in doing the extreme measure, you know, taking extreme measures that she did, because yeah, but at the same time, you gotta reel it back a little bit. You gotta throw it out and then reel it back. But then again, she did the best that she could, right? So you don't want to get to a point of pointing the finger. Okay. That's another thing. Like when you actually sit down, if you or someone that you know is in an overprotective situation, not overprotective, but codependent situation, you want to get to a point where you are doing your shadow work, you're being honest with yourself, but you also don't want to get to a point where you're pointing the fingers and you're doing the blame game, because that's going to be counterproductive. You want to acknowledge that this is the cause, this is the effect, but you don't want to get caught up in the effect. You want to get from point A to point B. So just keep that in mind. But I seriously hope that you take a moment to really take out your journals and do some shadow work if this is something that you are afflicted with, because I guarantee you there is so much more unpacking that needs to be done when it comes to this. Unpacking in general when it comes to shadow work, but this is something that, if it's really something that's been really affecting you, you should really take this really seriously and actually do the work for it, because the reward is so much greater. It really is. But thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you in the next episode. The next time you hear from me, let's say the next episode, you'll be one step closer to your highest self, one step closer to stepping into your divine energy and in complete flow. And so it is. Ache.